listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and you gators and grannies, to this Sunday afternoon edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my residence here in northern British Columbia. Welcome to the show. I am being broadcast through the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on ShakenRadio.com. We are a viewer-supported station, guys, so if you like what the stations are doing, we always ask you to please try and reach into your pocket and throw a few bucks into the kitty. I know everybody's having a little bit of time, a tough time economically right now, but if you can spare even a couple bucks, $5 here and there, it sure would be appreciated. Also, always thanks to my producer, Stephen Roberts, for putting up with me every week and producing my shows. I have in with me today for a bit of a conversation, I have Mr. Duke Willis, and I'm sure you guys are familiar with Duke. You've heard him on my shows before. And I've also got Dave Delisle in here. You guys have heard on my show before. Originally, I did have a doctor scheduled for today, but he had a family issue come up, and he had to postpone till next week. So on short notice, I asked Duke and Dave to join me, and they much obliged me. I appreciate you guys coming in and sharing a few of your thoughts today. Maybe we could start the conversation off with a quick your pet peeve of the week. How's that for a start? I'll start with you, Deke. Duke, your pet peeve of the week. What is it this week?
We've got hundreds of them.
The pet peeve of the week. I want to hear your quick pet peeve of the week.
Employees of stores that think they're Gestapo stormtroopers can order us around as if they have property. That's my pet peeve of the week.
Okay, Dave?
My pet peeve is basically the same thing. I'm so tired of these people trying to dictate to me what I can and cannot do. It's just that, and my argument with them is pretty simple. Look, this is a free country. You know what? If I choose not to wear a mask and I choose not to wear gloves and do all the things that they want me to do, that's my choice. I'm one of the people that's at risk, supposedly, because of my COPD and my heart disease. And I don't care. If I'm going to catch this thing, I'm going to catch it. It's that simple. No matter what I do, it's not going to stop it. So my pet peeve is pretty much that.
Well, I have to say, of course, my pet peeve was what Justin Trudeau did last Friday in Parliament. Banning 1,500 different guns in Canada. But that also is one of the highlights of my week because I have seen an opportunity here in the last few days to actually really talk with Canadians in my area in conversations that they would never have engaged in prior to what Justin Trudeau just did. He has really, really effectively woke up, I would say, hundreds of thousands of Canadians to exactly what he is all about, and there's a lot of peed off Canadians right now in Canada. The biggest challenge I think we have, gentlemen, going forward is challenging that anger in the right direction and funneling it properly so it doesn't get misused. But that's what I am saying, guys. That's the most infuriating thing that I've ever seen out of a government, but it's exactly what I expected from Justin Trudeau. What do you think, Duke? Where do you think it's going, buddy? You think the Canadians are actually going to put a stop to this? You think Canadians actually have the intestinal fortitude to stand up to this government and put a stop to that? Because we're going to have to stand up en masse for them to listen, period, if they ever will.
let Dave go first. Dave, you go ahead, buddy.
Thanks, Duke. I reposted today a thing from Mr. Trudeau from 2010, where he swore up and down, right, left, and center that he would oppose any gun bans. And guess what happened? We got the gun bans.
You mean Justin Trudeau actually told a lie?
I mean, you got to think it's from 2010, eh? So, I mean, it was probably the blackface days.
Oh, have you ever heard Justin Trudeau tell the truth? My question to the panel. anyways, Duke, what do you think?
In answer to your question, Barry, what do I think is going on or going to happen? What kind of effect is this going to have? This whole gun ban and what? I look at what's going on in the United States. And because, let's face it, we haven't had Canadians doing in Alberta what American Michigan, I'm referring to taking up arms and storming their state capital in Lansing, Michigan, mm-hmm. right into the lobby, the full state capitol, pounding on the doors of the legislative room, the floor of their legislature, yelling, "This is the people's house. Lock us out." Is that going to happen? Much to the dismay of everyone out there who thinks that Canadians are, you know what, and would rather just eat their Timbits. I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. Many Canadians don't know our own history. You want to know what Canadians are going to do when they get mad enough? They're going to do what they did on D-Day. Forces were the only forces on the invasion front of D-Day to not only achieve their targeted, but to surpass that and push farther into enemy territory than planned. Don't underestimate the backbone of Canadians. Get them angry enough, and they will fight for the freedom on their own soil. No other human being on the face of this planet.
Well, I really hope you're right, Duke, because right now there's no excuse.
You look back on why is Vimy Ridge such an important date? Because it's when not Allied forces, Canadians held the day. Think about that.
Duke, nobody here is going to argue the
history,
background.
World War I, World War II, when push comes to shove, Canadians have a spine in them that is par, equal to, or superior to many other nations in the... Do not underestimate us, Timbit-eating Canucks.
Well, I agree that, you know, we have a great history in the wars, Duke, but I have seen a change in Canadians' hearts because there is no reason right now that if you're a true patriot in this country with the amount of information that's now available and is in your face about the fascist dictator that is running this country and you're not taking up arms and you're not getting involved, then I don't know what to say to you because there's no excuse for ignorance at this point. This is so in our face
now. Barry, you just used the two words. You just used the two words that define the flaw in your Your first statement said you've never seen so many Canadians being apathetic. Then the second half of your statement, you patriot. Those are two different people, my friend. Sorry. I don't know whether it's my system or yours.
I'm not catching a lot of things that you're saying.
Two different words. A Canadian and a patriot are two
different people. I agree with you, Duke. I'm not arguing that fact with you at all because most Canadians don't seem to have a spine. and you show me a different, you show me a group in Canada outside of the patriot movements right now in this country that have a spine. That all I'm saying right now is that this is in our face. There's no hiding this anymore, what the intentions of this government are and what the projection, if you project that down the road 5 or 6 years, what kind of a country are we going to be living in? And if you can't wake up at this point, then I don't know what to say to you, people. I don't know what to say. That's all. That's what I'm making for a point, is that Canadians seem to be, you see Americans standing up and willing to go to arms and go to their legislatures. We don't see that in Canadians. Citizens, we've seen a demonstration today in Edmonton, and they arrested Cody on the street and Pat King and hauled him away to jail for speaking in public, speaking the truth in public in Edmonton. That happened earlier today. Yep. And we see very few people showing up at these rallies. I'm saying to Canadians, where are you? Where are the people? You see what's going on. You know, Duke and Dave, all we really do, I keep saying this in my shows, all we really do to see what's going to be going on in Canada in a few years from now is just keep looking at Europe. Okay? That's all you need to do, because that's an exact projection of what's going to be happening in Canada in the very, very near future if we don't stop it right now. Exactly.
Absolutely.
The same, exactly same scenario will be played out in Canada. We see the cells now forming in Canada. We see areas of no-go zones. We see the call to prayer being played on loudspeakers in Canadian public. I mean, what does it take? What's going on, folks? If that doesn't wake you up,
gospel.
Well, yeah, of course not.
You can't even ring your church bells.
I know that, because you'll go to jail. But they can broadcast
your
the call to prayer.
At
5:30 in the morning. And this doesn't alarm Canadians? I'm going, hey, where are the people in this country? And don't you see what's going on? It's right in front of your face. What's going to be next, guys? Implementation of Sharia law as announced by Justin Trudeau and signed into law today. Aha, we did another one on it. What are you going to do? You know, and what are they doing in Canada, guys? They're turning the whole country into a country of dependence. That Trudeau's government is sending out checks to people, $2,000. I had one guy, Brad, his daughter's in college, and she's got $4,000 so far from the government. So what are you doing? You're creating a tyrannical government is what you're doing. Dependency on the government is not a good thing. It takes away from everything that we're trying to do in our lives that's constructive. But that's exactly what the government's doing. They created the problem. They see what's going on in the economy. Of course, they're going to come be the savior, print them trillions of dollars of money that doesn't exist, hyperinflate everything that's going on, collapse the dollar eventually, and turn them upside down. Watch what happens.
What about our food? Guys.
Yeah.
What are they doing to
food? That's the end of my rant, okay? That's all. Yeah, look what's going on with food. Look what's going on everywhere. It doesn't matter what we look at. And it's all ramping up at light speed. And people are going, oh, everything's still okay. You know, I just don't get it, guys. I'm shut up for a minute. That was my rant.
Barry, listen, you gotta understand that these guys with the guns, the hunters, they're not going to give their guns up. And these cops need to understand, too, that, you know what, they may have guns. And they may come after people. But all it's going to do is piss off the rest of the people. And they're going to say, okay, fine, cops come to my door, I'm going to have a loaded gun.
I went to the dump yesterday, guys. I had my Trudeau for treason t-shirt or prison t-shirt on. And three gentlemen I talked to while I was there. One guy, really, a young guy, you know, 35 years old, works, I forget exactly where he works, but got children. And I tell you, the conversations I'm having with Canadians, I have never seen such outrage that all of a sudden these guys are going, hey, this guy has got to go. What's it going to take with conversation? What's it going to take to get this guy out of power? And of course, we can get back to what Duke is involved in, the Myth of Canada. There's an option. But the only problem I see with what Duke is doing and these other people is Canadians don't seem they're ready at a point that it's not affecting their life directly yet. It's going to. It is in lots of ways. And you're not seeing as much of their money anymore. And they see some stuff going on. And the sheeple, of course, there's a lot of sheeple that are going, hey, great idea. Let's take the guns away because people are getting killed by guns. They don't look at the fact that 96% or 94% of the gun violence in Canada is done by illegals with illegal guns. That's not a fact that they even want to look at. And yet there's still, we see this going on in society where they're going, yeah, take the guns away. Well, we're dealing with a society, a sheeple, man. Because, you know, all you got to do is look at history, man.
That's okay.
Look at where they've disarmed societies and what's happened.
That's okay.
Yeah, I know. You know where I'm going with this, dude. You know exactly where I'm going with this.
Yeah, and you know exactly what I'm going to tell you. Let the cannon fodder be cannon fodder. Let the people be Wile E. Coyote standing at the end of the tunnel going, it's the light of freedom, only to get splattered on the front of a train. They're not my problem. Seriously. At some point in this process, Barry, and I've been trying to tell people this for a year, at some point in this process, each and every one of us is going to become the captain of the lifeboat outside the Titanic when the unsinkable Molly Brown stood up and said, there's room for more. Go into the crowd and get people out of the water. And the captain pulled his gun out and said, if we take this boat back into that crowd, they will pull us all down. And the people that are living in this boat now will die.
That's right.
That's the choice. That's the reality that we as truthers are facing right now, Barry.
I came to grips with it long ago.
All the people I talk to aren't going to listen. That's their choice. I can't save people who don't want to be saved. Barry, my youngest daughter is a recovered heroin addict. I sat in my driveway at 3 o'clock in the morning in a lawn chair because I knew where she was and I was waiting for the guys she was with to drive by and dump her dead body in my driveway because she had OD'd. 2 months later, I took her into detox. I couldn't take her to detox until she was ready to go. Okay?
Right.
You can't save people until they're ready to be saved. And if you're going to waste your time fighting someone who is resisting what you're doing to help them, your time is better spent with people who will accept your help.
Well, the people that we've already helped, Duke, they're there. But you know what? There's always a chance by talking to somebody that's still in the matrix that you bring one point of information to their brain and get them turned around that we can have an effect on people. I know there's thousands that are never going to accept what we're talking about that will stay in the matrix. They'll die to protect it. I understand that. But I also know that there's a lot of people right now that are sitting on the fence, and those are the people I am going to continue to go after. Even though some of them will never, never accept it, we are going to reach a few more. And the more we got, the better off we have. I'm not going to turn my back on people just because they're not on board with us yet. I am going to continue to share information and let people get that. We have to get that information to people because these people that we're dealing with aren't getting that information, dude. So our mission right now is just to put as much information in front of people. But that's that to me. I see people changing, dude. I mean, in my community right here, buddy, I'm seeing guys that called me a nutcase years ago are all of a sudden just infuriated, and they're all of a sudden starting to look. Well, we're reaching people right now, and it's on fire, Duke. And right now, we got to put our pedal to the metal because there is a lot of people that are going to change their thinking. And numbers, we need numbers, Duke. I mean, it's a matter of numbers in this country. If people really started getting on board with what we're telling them and they really had the guts to stand up to this government, you'd see them back down in a heartbeat, in a heartbeat. It's time for civil disobedience in society. That's all I'm going to say. Go ahead, Dave. Or Duke, go ahead.
No, let Dave go, because all the dress.
We're going to pass this around.
Yeah.
The problem I see with this is that all these people that are not willing to wake up, these sheeple, there's going to be a point where they're going to turn to us and say, listen, help us. The reality is that we have to let them go. We cannot help them at that point.
Yeah.
And that point is like now, really. Because they're not prepared for anything, and we can't. The ones that are prepared can't take care of the ones that aren't.
And it's just impossible. To that point, Barry, I'm going to follow up a little bit here on what you were alluding to and what Dave just mentioned, and I want to give your audience who doesn't know me. Let's be fair. The few times that I've been on your show, just so your audience understands. After 2 years of doing 4 live broadcasts a week, which puts me in the range of 400 plus shows in 2 years, I have chosen to stop doing my live shows, and I've chosen instead to start focusing my efforts on groups here in Canada who are working on constitutional conventions. For 2 years, I've been telling people about the Myth Is Canada and telling them that we won't stop. A constitutional government or any politician that we elect will not stop what's coming. What's coming has been in the works. It's been in motion for so long. No Max Bernier, no constitutional conventions are going to stop what's coming. The whole purpose of our constitutional conventions is to educate enough people that after the dust settles from what is coming, and good triumphs over evil, because it always has, it always will. Does that mean evil goes away? No, but that's a whole other discussion. Back to educating the people. Our goal at the Myth, my goal, is to educate enough people that some of them, enough of them, will survive what's coming and have the knowledge to build what the future needs so that it can be, the future that is, can be what we today realize we don't have been lied about having or lied to about having, and what we want to build for our children. We may not have that opportunity to do it ourselves. You and I may not get the chance to pour the foundation and put up the 2x4s. So we need to educate other people who may survive long enough to do just that. Pour the foundation of a new society. Build the framework of a constitution that society can be built around. That's what the Myth Is Canada is working towards. It's what I've been working towards for 2 years with my shows. And that's where I'm going. The time for me to be Paul Revere is gone. The time for me to move on and continue the education of those who are awake is what I'm moving to.
Yeah. And I agree. Because
I'm not saying that Barry should stop doing what he's doing, or that Dave, you should stop awakening people, or that Shaziz and the Knights of the Round Table should stop sharing their information and enlightening people. No, not at all. But for me personally, this is where I feel my 2 cents worth of contribution is going to be most beneficial to the people, the movement, is to shift my focus from being Paul Revere to being somebody who's out on the front lines working with the troops, so to speak.
Mm. Well, you better rally a lot of troops, because we're up against a tyrannical worldwide movement. It's not Canada, it's not the United States, it's everywhere. And it is ramping up at light speed, and the tools that are going to come out of their toolbox are going to throw society into a state of chaos. And what you're doing, Duke, sure, what you're doing right now, that's great. But are we really going to have time to get Canadians on board with what you're trying to do, realistically, before the poop really starts to hit the fan here? Because we're at a point right now where I believe in the very, very near future, there's going to be some chaos unleashed on us that we are not, the general public, are not ready for. And I applaud. Let me finish what I'm saying. Okay. I applaud what you're doing. You know, I've looked at the Miss of Canada, and there's lots of virtue to what you're doing. What I'm saying, Canadian people are not going to jump on board with something like this in volume until their lives are really, really directly affected by what's going on in the government. But when we get to that point, it's going to be too late. This government is growing in leaps and bounds. Their tyrannical power is growing. They have poked us with this COVID-19. We all know that it came from – everything about it is bull. Period. They got the Canadian public to run into their houses and hide under their couches in fear. They got the whole world to run under their couches and hide. And Duke, what I'm saying – that there's going to be a lot of stuff like this happening. Now they've seen how the public reacts. They've got their test out there. They saw what the public did. They realize how much power they can do or how much power they can get. We're up against a real tyrannical force right now. And what you're doing, Duke, is great. But are we going to have time to educate the public? And is the public going to embrace something like that? That's the question.
But that's just it, Barry. We don't need to educate the public because a large portion of the public isn't going to survive what's coming. Why waste my time educating a whole bunch of people who aren't going to be around? I know that sounds crude, cold, and harsh, but it's the truth, buddy.
Listen, we're having a discussion. We don't have to yell.
I'm not yelling, but it's the truth, buddy. I hate to say it. You're trying to get everybody that ever put on a pair of skates to join the NHL. Well, guess what, my friend?
All do. I know there's lots of people that'll never hear the truth. Never. We know that they're so entrenched in the matrix that they'll never come out. I've never doubted that, and I've never said that we're going to reach them all. All I'm saying is that you have to continue to put information in front of people so they really get an idea or the ability to make decisions, educated decisions. And we don't have that in our public.
Well, that's
Doug Force has the right idea. Doug Force has the right idea. Now, with Paul Chauvin, Paul Chauvin's trying to run that, but he wants to run it with a king. And I'm sorry, but that's not how it works. And I had that discussion with him last week before I said, that's enough of your nonsense. I will not bow to anybody. I'm sorry. I am a human being. I am a man. I am not this piece of meat that everybody can just do whatever they want with.
We have a king right now. His name is Justin.
Yeah. Well, he's more dictator, but yeah.
Well, same thing. A king, a dictator. He called himself Lord God King, Dr. Field Marshal, Emperor for Life, Idi Amin Dada.
Yeah.
What's the difference with Justin? Or his father? I remind you, his idol in life. I remind you that Justin is not doing anything different parliamentary-wise than his father did, than other prime minister has done. But you can look through every decade as prime ministers have come and gone over 4 and 8 year periods. Every decade there's been an order in council. An order in council is written evidence that we don't have a representative government. We have a dictatorship.
Well, and his father was worse. I mean, he openly admitted he was a card-carrying communist.
Yep. My dad told me that when I was about 12 years old, guys. And that resonated with me all my life. So he came out and told me when I was about 12 years old that the new prime minister of Canada was going to destroy the country. And I looked at him, of course, being 12 years old, I just laughed at him. Well, inside I was laughing. But now that I think about him saying that to me, he knew what Trudeau was all about. And you're right, Justin's just carrying on. But he's really ramping up the mandate. We're seeing it ramped up worldwide right now. The thing is, there's so many people really that are waking up to this. What I see going on is that so many people are waking up to this that we're starting to really put their backs up against the wall. Now, in the next couple of weeks, there could be some really crazy things happen down in the United States of America. And, we're tied to the hip to those guys. So if it gets really crazy down there, we don't think our government's going to jump on that opportunity to make some really draconian moves like implementation of the Emergencies Act or whatever he's got up his sleeve. They've already planned out what the next couple months is going to be like, man. They know exactly what they're going to do. They have their plan in place. They know that they're being put up against the wall. But we've said it many times, folks, that they have little tools in their toolbox. And I keep saying this to people that the last thing we want to do is get into an armed confrontation. What we have to do now is get people to a point where they're going to stand up and yell loud at this government. Civil disobedience. Like I said, it's the order of the day, because I keep saying to people, Duke and Dave, if we go to an armed confrontation against this government right now, we are going to get our asses handed to ourselves. And that's the last place we want to go. Okay, so we've got to be able to put aside any differences that we have and focus on the main objective, and that's trying to get this lunacy out of our country, the way I see it.
But the thing is that Trudeau is going to pull some kind of a stunt where he's going to stage something to happen that's going to push it all to it, and then the sheeple are all going to say, oh, yeah, because of this.
Well, just
the idiots don't realize. The idiots don't realize that, look at what Hitler did. You know, look at what the Soviets did. Look at what the Chinese did. They took the weapons away from the people and just decided all of a sudden, that's it. We're going to control everybody.
Yep.
Well, it's not going to happen. I will not do it. I will not do it while I'm alive. They are not going to take my freedom away from me freely.
Well, I hope the rest of Canada feels the same way, Dave, because that's what it's going to take to stop this madness right now in this country. It really is. Well, we look
the hunters deep. The hunters are all on board with this. Not one that I know is going to give up their guns. They have to kill them, is what they say. They're going to have to take them away from my cold, dead hands, and that's what they're saying. And the reality is that they're right. They're taking
So what are they doing, Dave? They are pushing the Canadian public towards an armed confrontation, is what they're trying to do. And this is only the
criminals out and arresting innocent people.
Well, yeah, but yeah, they're empowering everything the government does empowers criminals. I mean, look at they've taken all the criminal offenses against major criminal crimes and reduced all the sentences. They've made, I mean, it's just a joke. Our criminal system is a joke. People go in for murder. The guy that cut the guy to pieces in that bus. How many years was he in jail? 6 years? 7 years? And he's got a full pardon now from jail by the Canadian government. The guy hacked the guy to pieces on a bus. I mean, where is our judicial system? Well, they're empowering the criminals because what that does, it creates social chaos. Chapter 9, paragraph 14 to 27 in the Communist Manifesto. It talks about all the ways they can create social chaos. That is the main key in our society right now. We look at everything that's going on. Doesn't matter what we look at. Every aspect of our society, there seems to be a conflict point. We could talk about so many different things that maybe they don't seem like they're really something, but they are. You know, professional sport. I mean, you know, people would want to kill each other and punch each other in the face because their team beat my team in a playoff game. You know, what kind of mentality is that in society? And then we look at what's going on with gladiator sports now. We're almost at the point where society's going to accept murder as entertainment. We're almost at that point. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, Barry, think about it. When the food shortages come, people are going to be killing each other over food. And they're coming. They are absolutely coming.
I absolutely agree with you. That's something we could talk about.
That's really what's going to happen. Because if you think that there's enough meat in the woods with birds or any of the animals to eat, that'll be gone in a week when you get cities starving.
Yeah, I think the most important thing anybody could do right now is to try and make sure they've got a little bit of food put away if you're able to do that. A lot of people aren't, unfortunately, because they live paycheck to paycheck. But if you have the ability to put away a little bit of food, I would recommend you do that because what I've read about food shortages, Dave, it just boggles my mind. And we're really starting to see it now. Every time I go to the grocery store, the prices on food are just like they're going through the roof. Major jumps on everything that I buy. And it's just starting. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. But it's all part of the agenda. It's all a piece in the puzzle, guys.
Look at the seeds in that. You couldn't get seeds for a while. Now you're starting to get a bit. But the majority of the people now that can access them are taking them all.
Oh, I know. I know.
It's like the toilet paper was a month and a half ago.
The toilet paper apocalypse, man.
And most of the seeds. What a jerk.
How do they get society all of a sudden to freak out on toilet paper and go running to the stores and fight over bags of it, man? I just don't get it.
But it's the insanity that was created. Because people are so confused in what they really need to focus on that they're just jumping at straws everywhere, grasping at straws everywhere. And it's like, look. Sit down, think about it. This is where what we have to do. In order to stop this, we need to stand up. And as far as what supplies we need, all we need is the balls to stand up and say, that's enough. Unite and say, that's enough. That's what we need. But there's not enough people that clue into that. And you want to know who the sheep are? Not a problem. Just go outside and see all the people wearing masks and gloves believing the crap that they're being fed.
Yeah, I know. And there's a lot of them out there.
Oh, there is.
Well, we know the power of mainstream media and what we're up against here. I mean, this agenda that's being played out is worldwide. I've looked into this a lot. I mean, just listen to some of the things that doctors are now saying, what's going on at the hospitals. I mean, all this information's coming out now that they really scammed the public. And what is the end result? We see the United States economy just on the verge of collapsing. We see in Canada literally tens of thousands of small businesses, businesses on the verge of closing. We're talking about small businesses that people have worked all their lives to achieve, have sacrificed all their lives, and all of a sudden, along comes the World Health Organization. Oh, by the way, of course, is run by Communist China. And they come out after 4 or 5 days of people hearing this on the news, run to the microphones and yell, worldwide pandemic, and everybody thinks they're dealing with the Black Plague. And all society goes running into their houses and hiding. What is going on, folks?
And people are being shut down.
Well, yeah, Dave, you know, and I know, Duke, there's none of us here will argue, Duke, that once they've got this power, we're not going to get it back. What they're going to do with it now, they've seen what's going on, and they're all laughing in their little towers. Look at those guys. They didn't question it. They're not looking at numbers. They're listening to what the World Health Organization and Dr. Theos, and what is his name? I can't pronounce that guy's name. A guy that doesn't actually have a doctor's certificate but's running the World Health Organization.
Fauci?
The guy put in by Communist China. Yeah, that guy. Yeah. I mean, it's a joke.
Nobody's listening to the doctors, the actual doctors. Nobody's listening to them because
they're being censored. They're being censored right now.
Facebook and off.
As soon as the links show up, they're off. They're gone.
Yep.
Well, that's what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a fascist dictatorship in our society. But we have a lot of cops
that are on our side that see what's going on, and they're saying, look, you know what? We're caught between a rock and a hard place. Well, the reality is they have families, too. These are just normal guys that put on a uniform every day. Some of them, I admit, are asses. But the reality is that most of these guys are decent people.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I talked to one here in town that he's a good guy. And I don't mind saying that. The guy's an RCMP, but I play hockey with the guy. I got to talk to him. You know, he's got a family, his values. It's the same gentleman that sat in his vehicle one day, and he saw me downtown, and he's driving his Jeep, and he waves at me. And I sit and talk to this gentleman for 5 minutes. And he says, you know, I said this before on my shows. He says, Barry, every member in my detachment right now at the lower levels of the RCMP are really disgusted with what they see going on at the upper levels of the RCMP. His words to me exactly, but he's caught between a rock and a hard place. He's got a family, he's got a mortgage, he's, you know, got into the service for the right reasons, and he is seeing the corruption at the upper levels. But like I said, a lot of them are caught. But that's his words to me exactly, guys. So I know the guy understands what's going on, doesn't approve on it, and what do they do at this point? Walk away? It's hard to do sometimes when you're under that kind of financial pressure.
But they're going to have to make a decision. They're going to have to make a decision what side they're on, because it's not going to be a question of, well, you know, maybe, sort of, because it's either one side or the other. It's not both. And being on the fence, that just makes you a traitor.
Now, I understand that, Dave. But you know where some of them are coming from, eh? They got into the force for the right reasons. And now they're seeing all this corruption through, you know, the commissioner of the RCMP. I mean, all you have to do is look at Lucky's background and who she's tied to and her background before she became commissioner of the RCMP, hand appointed by Justin Trudeau. I mean, it doesn't
matter. But are they going to do the right thing? Or are they going to choose that? You know, absolutely. Do the right thing and stand up. If you got in there for the right reason is to defend the laws. Not these things that if something goes against your values, you don't support it, no matter who it is.
Yeah, I think they're all going to have to face that question here in the very near future, because our government is becoming draconian. And they're just not going to stop now, guys. They're, like I said, this even if they drop all the restrictions right now, you know, like I said, they poke society, and society responded exactly the way they wanted to see society respond. They know that the next time they bring something out, that maybe it'll have some real knockdown power where you're in society and you are starting seeing people really affected by this. everybody I meet in town, everybody I have conversations with in Terrace, British Columbia here, doesn't know anybody that's been affected by this virus. And I've asked everybody, do you know anybody that's been affected by this? And I haven't heard anybody say, yeah, yet. And yet society's locked down. Well, what's going on, guys?
I've heard one person say that, but I don't believe it because they're, if you die of a heart attack, automatically you're
labeled as COVID-19. Yeah. And, you know, the pneumonia is killing more people in North America than any of these viruses and diseases combined. To take flu, take them all. And pneumonia blows them right out the door. And where does pneumonia come from? Well, most people over 60 years old, if they develop a serious cold, are really susceptible to pneumonia. And it kills, like I said, about 4 million people, I believe the numbers are, in North America every year. But you don't hear anything about that, do you? No. You don't throw those numbers around because they don't work.
From the beginning, all I've always thought of this as a social conditioning experiment so that they could see how the public was going to react. Exactly. They're happy with the way that they reacted.
They got the result they wanted, Dave.
And now everything's going to speed up.
Well, you know the end game is to destroy our country, to destroy our economy. I mean, China is not our friends. Everybody knows that. Anybody thinks that China's our friends really don't pay attention to anything going on. But we know China's not our friends. You know, we've said it many times, guys, that you don't need an army to defeat a country. Look what they've done by this virus and what it's done to the U.S. economy, what it's done to our social structure, what it's done to – you look at the suicides, you look at the violence going on in families, you look at the abuse of kids that have ramped up since this whole charade was brought forward. The effect it's having on our social structure of our society, we're driving each other apart. And, of course, what do you want to do? You divide and you conquer. Anything to divide society, they're using. And this here, guys, it's the biggest scam ever played on the human race. I'm more convinced of that ever. I know that this virus has danger. It's a bug, sure. But how many bugs have we dealt with in society to the point where we're shutting everything down? My heart goes out to all the small business. I really feel for all these small businesses, guy. I really do. Because some of them put their life into this, and it's being taken away over nothing, period. A nothing burger. Go ahead. But
Barry, now they're talking about having the second and third wave of this going on.
They're conditioning the public for that.
Now, wait till you see what's coming, because the second and third wave, that all involves the 5G stuff, because then it's, we're going to target these people next. And these people.
More 5G, more diseases. Man, you think we'll ever go back to normal, guys? What do you think, Duke?
What'd they do in Germany with all the handicapped, all the disabled kids and whatever? They killed them all. See, that's what they're trying to do, because all the money goes into the disabled and into the seniors. And if they get rid of that problem, they have more money. And then
wait a second. I'm a senior. I'm in that gang right now, man.
Hey, we're all seniors.
I got a bullseye on my forehead.
We all do.
Yeah, that's for a hockey puck.
Well, you know what? I still think I got a year left in me yet, Duke, so I'm going to go out, and I know I will be going off to do morales here pretty quick. Everybody that's listened to me in the last 3 or 4 years knows that I go off for a while, and go harvest morels in the bush. It's something I have to do every year. It's the way I make a living. And we're going to be going away probably here in the next 3 or 4 weeks, and I'll be off the air for a little bit. Maybe somebody can pick up my show for me, but I will be going away for a while. I do it every year. I hate to do it, but I've got to go into the bush. And it's how I keep myself young. Go out there and push your body to the limit. And the mosquitoes have got to eat, of course, so there's lots of them around. But I will be going out to the morels. We're making plans now.
Well, Before we get too much farther into other topics, something that keeps coming up, it's a constant recurring theme, whether I talk to people about constitutional conventions, whether I talk to people about what's going on in the United States or how we can resolve things, it all boils down to, sooner or later, somebody, I shouldn't say it boils down to, sooner or later, somebody brings up the question of, well, whose side are the police going to be on? And you guys talked about that earlier today. I've been sitting here editing a couple of videos that I've downloaded off the internet. One is a police officer from, I'm pretty sure from what I've been able to dig up, he's out of Colorado. And another police officer out of New York City. And the one in New York City actually says at the beginning of his video, I'm doing this in response to a video done by a fellow officer. And they both talk about how they don't care what their commanding officers or their police department tells them. They are there to uphold the Constitution, that police and politicians derive their power from the people via the Constitution.
Barry,
so if you're worried about what the police are going to do, ladies and gentlemen, flip a coin. 50% of them are going to follow orders, just like Nazis at the gas chambers. 50% are going to turn around and say, no, we serve and protect the people,
Garrett,
not the politicians.
Duke, Barry.
Yes, Steve.
The police that are not going to follow the orders are going to lose their jobs. And they will find people that will
follow the mandate?
Yes.
Yeah, that's gone through my head too, Steve. Just how far we allow these guys to go, that right now, like I said many times, I think the most important thing we can do is just educate as many people as we can, because I am seeing a positive response. And I know that there's going to be lots, like we said during the course of this show, that there's lots that aren't going to ever hear this, but I believe there's still lots that can be reached right now. And I am going to focus some of my time on that, because I feel that's important. I know there's a lot of people that listen to our shows that are fully aware of everything that's going on. They prepared themselves mentally and physically however they can for what's coming. I believe that. But there's still like a lot of people out there that if they were really given the right information, we'd see a major shift in a lot of people. So I'm going to continue doing that. Maybe that doesn't sound like a productive aspect to some of you folks, but to me, it's the way I see things right now.
Well, see, for me, Barry, being the president of 3% Canada Group, I took an oath, okay? And my oath is to uphold the laws. And the reality is that I will not uphold a tyrannical law. Or direction or whatever it is that they want to call it, because it's not something that's in the best interest of the people. I defend freedom and I defend liberty, and I will not bow to a tyrant. It's that simple. I will protect the innocent at all costs. It's just that simple.
Well, in today's world, that makes you an Islamophobic, racist, white supremacist, Dave.
Call me what you will. The reality is, it is what it is.
Oh, word salads, eh? What are you saying, yeah. Duke? I know you're sitting out there. You wanted to add some comments to what I had to say. Your mic is muted right now, Duke. Oh, well, maybe Duke fell.
I had a major sneezing fit and had to mute my microphone.
Okay, we saw you fell off the log.
No, just sinuses attack. The weather's changing here. We're having this crappy cold spell, and it's gone from cold this morning to nice this afternoon, and now it's all clouded over, and my sinuses are deciding they don't like the weather change. I apologize for having my mic muted, but I saved you from a horrible experience. Trust me.
No one here for 4 days.
Yeah, but you live way up north, dude. Like, yeah. You're so far north, Santa Claus sends your Christmas presents by dog sled.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm down here in the Banana Republic of Niagara. Come on.
Yeah. The Florida of Canada.
Well, we're going to the beach, man. I don't know about you, Dave, but it's like t-shirt weather out here, man. We're out getting suntans already. But go ahead, Duke.
Buddy, I fully appreciate your choice to keep doing what you're doing and awakening people. And to tell you the truth, there's all kinds of people out there doing that, reaching all kinds of segments of society. You and I have talked about how your audience isn't my audience. My audience isn't your audience, because every one of us from Billy Joyce on the East Coast to you on the West Coast and all of the truthers in between, we all attract a slightly different audience. Well, at this point in time, as I said before, I personally feel that my 2 cents worth is going to be better used and more worthwhile in another venue within this same movement and push that we're working on. I got to leave the Paul Revere side of this, the Paul Revere portion of this job description, to people like you and Dave.
I appreciate that, but I think that you should still be involved in it. I do. Maybe not as much, but I mean, at times,
well,
I know that when you're on the street, I know you talk to everybody. So, and you'll talk to them about all the stuff. So, I mean, realistically, I'm not really too concerned.
You know, I look at it like this, Duke. Anything that anybody's doing right now, we all have different talents. We all have different ways of how we want to make a difference right now in this country. And what you're doing, I applaud that. What other people are doing, I applaud. Stuff that Billy Joyce does, I love. I really enjoy listening to Frank Vaughn, even though a few things that he says I don't agree with, I love his train of thought. I listen to everybody speak, and we're all basically trying to do the same thing. We're trying to wake people up to the fact that this country is in so much trouble right now that if we could just get it through to the people what's coming in the future for their children, and we all love our children to death, then you would see a rise. And I will continue to talk. I'll continue to bring information forward. Whether they listen, that's up to them, Duke. But that's what I'll continue to do. I applaud what you're doing. I applaud what Doug Forrest is doing. There's a lot of people in this country that we're all pushing back. We're all pushing back in the ways that we want to push back against this government. And I'm going to support.
Mark Friesen, too.
Yeah, Mark Friesen. I'm going to support and talk with everybody. I mean, that's what we really need to do right now is amalgamate everybody together.
See, I think Barry and Dave, you two can appreciate that I dived so deep into this swimming pool. I'm not coming out. Like, I'm still going to be doing, if Professor Fetzer calls me up and says, Duke, we got to talk about this because Canadians need to know what's going on. Or if Roger Landry says, you know, hey, there's something that your audience here, look at what's happening in Canada. And if something comes up where once or twice or maybe 3 times a month, it's worth it for me to come on and spend some of my time invested into researching an issue and bringing it to the forefront, then yeah, I'm going to continue to do that. But can I realistically commit such a huge portion of my time to 4 shows a week and still be able to commit time to the next step in this process of the myth is Canada? And the answer is no. I'm going to wind up producing, excuse my language, but half-ass productions. My shows won't have the depth and the research that I bring to them now because I won't have the 3 to 4 hours to put into the background of every show unless I take those 3 to 4 hours from the other things that I want to move forward with. So I've got to choose one or the other, and it's a matter of hours in the day or in the week, per se.
So we're down to the last 6 minutes here, gentlemen, so I'm going to let Dave have a say here, and Duke, I'll give you a few seconds or a minute or so to have a closing comment, and we'll have to shut out the first hour, but it's been an enjoyable conversation, and we're just getting warmed up, so we'll have to do this again. Dave?
Yeah, I agree with you, Duke. I really do, because just from what I'm doing and being involved with the 3 percenters, a lot of my time is eaten up doing the 3 percenter stuff, and that's something I chose. But I believe that that's what a patriot will do. And you do what you have to do to get the message across. And it takes an awful lot of people to get different messages to get to the same story. Because it's the whole thing comes down to one thing is going to lead to the next. And the myth is going to be a part of it. But we have to get to that point. And that's the tough part. Because that's where all the defending and all the protesting and the protesting the guns being taken away and whatever. I mean, we have to do these things. We have to stand up and yep. say enough is enough.
Absolutely.
I agree 100%.
Hey, well, you got a minute there, Duke. What do you want to say before we shut up this first hour?
Oh, there's so much I want to say.
Okay, you got minute and 30 seconds.
I think all I can say is exactly what I'm going to talk about at one point during my show tonight. And it's what this one police officer talks about, which kind of prompted me to share that piece about police officers and the Constitution. I think the biggest message that anyone can hear, never mind deliver, the biggest message that anyone out there can hear, if you really want to know what the answers are to all the questions in our world today, close your eyes, put your fingers in your ears, and listen to your heart. Because it will tell you what's right. Stop listening to media. Stop listening to me and Barry. Stop listening to mainstream media. Stop listening to everyone. Stop looking at videos. Stop looking at memes. Stop looking at 5G towers. Close your eyes. Close your ears. And listen to your heart. Listen to what's inside you. It will tell you what's right. Regardless of what other people tell you is right, you're not going to be happy with other people's answers until you listen to what your own heart and soul is telling you is right. And ladies and gentlemen, if that means ignore me, ignore everything, then so be it. Because that's where you'll find your answer is inside you. Excuse me, inside you.
Well said, Duke.
Yeah, it's all okay, about folks. Our children and grandchildren's future as free people.
Absolutely. Well, guys, it was a great conversation. Like I said, we're just getting warmed up, and I wish we had another hour, but I am going to take a break for a couple minutes. I've got Todd from Winnipeg Alternative Media coming in a few minutes, guys, and we're going to continue with this conversation. Thanks, Dave and Duke, for joining me. It's been a pleasure, gentlemen.
Thank you.
See you, Barry. Thank you, thanks Steve. For having me in, buddy.
I'll see you tonight.
Take care.
I'll see you tonight, Duke. Okay, folks, I'm out of here for about 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and I'll be back with Todd.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.
thanks. Welcome back to second. Okay, welcome back, folks, to second hour. Thanks to Duke Willis and Dave Delisle for stepping in and having a conversation. I enjoyed it. We always seem to get a good one going. I know like Duke is going to be on tonight, so if you get a chance to see what he's doing tonight, look him up. I have Todd McDougall from Winnipeg Alternative Media joining me here for the second hour. I was on actually Todd's show here about, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago. And we seemed to get a pretty good conversation going. We kind of fed off each other there and got into some conversations about vaccines and everything else that's chaotic that seems to be going on in our world right now. So I invited Todd in for a conversation. But before I get talking about anything, I got a question for Todd. And this is something that I really need an answer to. It's kind of a personal question, Todd, but it's important I put it to you. What was the turning point in your life that turned you into a goaltender? What traumatic event happened in your life that made you want to jump in front of pucks? Question I've got for you before we get into this conversation, because I'll tell you what my turning point was, buddy.
That's too funny. And God bless you for bringing that up first and foremost there, Barry. I guess that's a wonderful way to start a conversation. You know, being lighthearted, I think, or even having a sense of humor like that is very important. Very, very important. So good on you. Well, I don't know. Growing up watching hockey, you know, my dad coached a lot of me and my younger brothers. I got two younger brothers, coached a lot of our teams. Of course, I grew up like a lot of young Canadian boys, just growing up on the ice. I had a backyard rink for a few years as well, too. Played street hockey every day in my life. Didn't matter if it was minus 35 or plus 35, right? it was a way of life. I grew up actually a defenseman. But every time I had the option to, my parents, and I think a lot of young Canadian boys have heard the same thing as well, too. And excuse me for the wind, as I am sitting outside here. I'm at the in-laws' house, so I don't want to go disturb everybody inside with, you know, these horrible conspiracy theories and everything that I'm about to talk about, I'm sure. So I'm doing my best to social distance, and I'm outside right now. So I hope the wind doesn't bother things too much. But anyhow, let me know if it is, and I'll try to move around and block the wind as best I can. It shouldn't be too bad. The wind seems to be calming down. But anyhow, I think like a lot of Canadian boys, I grew up with my parents also telling me, it's nice that you love goaltending, but that costs way too much. You know, we can get you the used skates and the used elbow pads and crap like that, but we're not buying a whole set of goalie gear. That shit's like $1,000, man.
Yeah, but the goalie gear when I grew up with, Todd, man, nobody wanted to play goal because We had cloth on our arms when I started.
Yeah, anybody goal. Ripped a good slap shot at you and you were still going to get it. Right?
Wow, that hurt.
But I guess, you know, in the early 90s, it was an issue for parents to want to go ahead and have to. Now community clubs, which is kind of neat. I mean, my daughter's been in hockey for 3 years now. She'll be going into her fourth year in September, God willing, as long as, you know, there's no more freaking lockdowns. You know, she's tried out goaltender as well, too. But the community clubs now do a lot better to provide you with goaltending gear. You know, if you're a kid that wants to actually kind of seek that as part of hockey, they want to help you along a little more. So that's actually kind of nice, but not exactly the story in my day. I gravitated to goaltending just because, I don't know, there's something about being that last man back, that last line of defense that always kind of just screamed out to me. I like the gear. I love the idea of, you know, of designing your own mask. I like the goalie mask whole thing. I think that's pretty sweet. But I also love the I love the idea of trying to be so quick, so fast, so on the ball with something where you're stopping something that sometimes is moving at like 90 kilometers an hour.
And you snap it out of the air. There's no feeling like that in the whole world, Todd.
Yeah.
There isn't. It's something about
do that. Or being able to quickly come across from post to post and stop a guy who's scoring a sure goal. That although I still kind of relish the days where I could have been out there trying to, you know, score a good goal, land a good hit, make the better play, make that awesome pass to that guy that scores the big goal. You know, that's a wonderful thing just the same. But there's something about being able to take that sure goal away from somebody that just ended up appealing to me above all. And I gave it up in my 20s because I ended up getting in bands and playing music and touring Canada, actually, on the back of selling CDs and selling T-shirts. That's something I'll never, ever forget. I'll never take for granted. I got super lucky. I got to see way more of Canada than I've even seen since I stopped being in bands because I I was a touring musician, and it was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience. I'll never regret it. But because of
so you're telling me you got talent, Todd. You're not just a pretty face.
Oh no, I'm mostly just a pretty face there.
Anyways, Todd, you know, I grew up the same way, but you know what? They stuck me in goal when I was about 8 years old. And I thought, wow, this is great. All I got to do is stand back here and wait for the puck to come. You know, I don't have to go skate like the rest of these guys. And I was a lazy little guy, so they stuck me in net. And you know what? I started liking this. I was going, wow, this is fun. And you know what? They never got me out of goal. I played it all my life. I took a short break for about 6 or 7 years, but I got to play some Junior B when I was younger, which is pretty high-level competition, and I got to play Senior A for quite a few years. I got to play against the best hockey players in British Columbia and got to tour around and the camaraderie. It was a good time in my life, and I'm 65 now, Todd, and I'm still stopping the puck really well for my age. So I know that we're gonna have to go at it one time here, and we're gonna have to do it fairly quick because I'm not gonna last too many more years. I know that. Well, hey, buddy, it's a pain. Now it's a pain just to put my skates on. I'm bending over. I'm going, whoa, I don't want to stand up. You know, but once I get out there and you get this, once you get that smell of the ice in your nose, man, it's like you all of a sudden you take 30 years off your life, and you just want to get out there and stop that puck, man. It's a mental illness.
I know a lot of women or stuff like that wouldn't understand this, but that smell of the dressing room. When I came back into playing hockey again, you know, in my late 20s, early 30s, I fell in love again with the whole smell of the freaking dressing room. And then, you know, in the locker room talking, the guys all getting ready and bitching and moaning at the game. Of course, being a goaltender is a wonderful experience, especially when your team's got control of things and you know you're going to win the game easy, right? Like, that's when goaltending is just sort of like you get to stand back there and just look the part and be like, hey, this is awesome.
Well, I was on the spare list this year for the rec league in town, and there's eight teams in the rec league. And I got to, well, Todd, I got to play 7 games this year in the rec league against the young boys. And they have a standing joke in the league when they call me in for a spare. They always make sure that they have a bottle of Geritol, and they put it on the bench. And when I walk in, that's where I'm going to put my gear on. They're just over there, old man, with a bottle of Geritol. Just sit down there. We're ready for you. They call me Grandpa Goalie, but I played 7 games this year in the rec league. We're not going to talk hockey anymore, but I won 4 of them against the young boys.
Wonderful. Okay? Wonderful.
So I still have it.
I don't play as much on ice. I'm actually more of a ball hockey goaltender now, but still the guys that I play against, they can rip that orange ball at the same
time. Oh, ball hockey's crazy, man. The ball's going all over the place.
90K easy. It's freaking ridiculous, man. And they took the corner, if I can't believe.
But anyway, so much for hockey. We've had a good conference, but we probably get talking about hockey and go for an hour just on some of the experiences we've had. But we're not here to talk about. We're not really here to talk about hockey. But I had to start the conversation.
Kind of like, you know, I agree with your original statement there that yeah, goaltending is apparently. I've seen a few T-shirts actually. One of my local sporting places that I buy some of my gear at, and I still haven't bought it yet. But it kind of reads like, you know, I don't know. I may be crazy, but I'm a good goaltender.
Oh, yeah, exactly. We got a very high pain threshold. You have to be to play goal.
That's right. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But anyways, once you love it, Todd, you'd never get rid of that. And it's hard to explain to people. Like, most guys, they would never even want to put the gear on. You're crazy. You're getting in front of that puck. You're nuts. But it is what it is.
Make your first big save or get your first shutout, and you'll be in love forevermore.
Hey, Johnny Bauer taught me how to poke check, buddy. True story. He used to come over to the rink when I was about 13 years old. I went to a rink called Silver Creek Public School in Toronto in Etobicoke, and Johnny was across the field. We'd go there at night and play. He'd come over and, hey, kid, come here. I'm going, oh, Johnny Bauer, yeah, Johnny Bauer. And he comes down, he showed me his techniques for poke checking, Todd, and I use those techniques till today. He was the master at it. He came down one night and put skates on and came out on the ice with me. And, like, I was just, like, in awe. You know, here is the legend on the ice with me teaching me how to poke check. But I listened to what he said, and his techniques, I still use them to today. It's my best weapon. I'll take the puck right off your stick. But anyway, so much for hockey. Let's talk about the crap that's going on in Canada, buddy. How do you like Justin Trudeau and his gun ban? Oh, man. What a way to wake up the Canadian sheeple, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
No, that's what it's done, Todd. I have never, like I said, I've never seen so many pissed off people. Go ahead, bud.
Especially what a way to wake up Western Canada. I mean, if anybody that, of course, gets the easy Quebec Ontario vote knows, and I've been using this for a long, long time. In fact, I'd have to go put it at maybe multiple decades. One surefire way to go piss off everybody out west, and especially I think like Saskatchewanians and Albertans, is go ahead and go threaten their love for you know, for guns, for protection, for sport as well, too, for hunting. And it's just, you know, I talked about this with Todd Brown several times. Todd Brown of the Firearms Institute of Rational Education that I've had on my show multiple times over the past few weeks, just because he's the best one to have on to talk about this stuff. Yeah. He's been involved with multiple political parties, multiple politicians from, I think, more than a decade ago, all the way up to today. He's still, I think he's more involved now than he ever has been before. And, you know, and he talks very much about how, you know, what you're doing is you're making like hundreds of thousands of Canadians all of a sudden a criminal. Because of an incident, because of a thing. And there's a legal precedent to that as well, too, that's supposed to be upheld. You know, where if you take a look at, say, one incident, one mass shooting, or one statistic saying that, you know, this caused this over the last, say, decade, and you make a law on that, and you end up making more criminals than you're doing to actually solve the crimes of the things that killed, you know, X amount of people, which is still a kind of low amount in Canada. It's like 40-plus people in the last, like, 20 years or something like that, involved in mass shootings and major mass shootings where like an automatic or a semi-automatic, you know, rifle might have been used, then there's no legal precedent to set that. And a Supreme Court of Justice, a court of law should be able to understand that. Any constitutional lawyer should be able to understand that. You can't just go ahead and make a law that makes a whole shitload of people criminals because of one criminal doing one thing when they were clearly already breaking laws that have been set in place before that crime took place.
Well, that guy just happened to be driving around in a police cruiser with a police uniform on, was using an illegal gun, didn't have a license to have a gun, but all of a sudden you're gonna criminalize the rest of Canada because of one man's action. It's funny that this these draconian laws all of a sudden came out about 4 or 5 days after this, the largest mass shooting in Canadian history.
Of course.
I mean, come on, it doesn't take – it really – I mean, everything about this mass shooting, I've talked to people like Jason Fraser and other people on the East Coast that are really on top of what's going on with this. And I'll tell you, buddy, it stinks. It stinks to high heaven. But what did they do? 5 days after this, they come out with an announcement. They're going to go away. They're going to go after our guns hard. We've got to get the guns away from the public because look what's happening. He's playing the purse strings of the public at a time when their pants are down because of this COVID-19. He's got people at his mercy right now. They're in a state of fear already. And now this... And this is what this government's doing. This, I'll tell you, Todd, I'm sitting with people, and I am seeing literally steam come out of their ears, people that weren't really paying attention a couple weeks ago, literally. And all of a sudden, they're ready to kill, which is a good thing because they're going to really start looking at other aspects of what's going on with this government. Once you've opened up the can of worms, boy, I'll tell you, that can of worms is big. It'll swallow you right up, buddy.
Oh, absolutely. And of course, you know, it's only going to make you ask questions even further. It's funny how brazen, you know, these criminals, these people that just hate humanity, hate people. They just, you know, there's no ways about it. There's no point talking about if they're politicians, their lawyers, their background, whatever else. They just hate people. Okay, that's the game. They want to be gods. They think they've discovered the Godhead or whatever like that. They want to be able to, I guess, travel to the stars all on their own, which is never going to happen. So it's funny, you know, they worship the Dark Star. The Dark Star is going to eat you alive as soon as you give him what that entity is looking for. But they make all these huge brazen moves. They do this thing. They move on us so quick. They move on anybody so quick once they have an opening, once they've succeeded on something just a little bit. And they quickly forget that there's still the rest of free humanity that can still look at this, can still witness it, can still feel it, can still make their own choices. And of course, what's happened? To make a move like that during the whole COVID-19 shutdown, that itself has woken up so many people. Then you make this kind of move during that, all you did is you just poked the bear and woke up even more people. Because
I know.
It's like a joke almost, and it's like a dark joke that they kind of seem to like, I guess. But it doesn't seem to matter. It's still go time. It's still like, look, you know, we got these few steps in place, so let's go have the next few. Let's go pass more things that we've begged on for decades, and you know, and that we've wanted people to believe for decades. So let's just go. And the funny thing is, it's a kind of a joke on them because that actually just continually wakes up more people, and then you have more of a fight. Now I guess maybe they want a fight. I guess. The whole thing about Revelations and really wanting the big end fight, the big end war, I guess is still a part of the belief system, a part of the plan, I guess. But it's funny when they make it look like that's not supposed to be the plan. Like, oh my God, you woke up. Oh my God, you don't like us. Oh crap, now you're fighting us. Oh crap, now you have now you have larger numbers that are standing up against these kinds of things. Oh wow, we have to be angry. We have to get more people on our side. And it's like, well, no. Hold on. Be more honest. You wanted this fight. I think you enjoy this fight. I think this is what you're looking for. It's kind of priceless like that because, you know, why go and push the buttons so often, so fast, when you know that that's what's going to happen? These anti-human degenerates that are in control, that have been that think they're in control, that think that they have some sort of spiritual backing that's going to save them in the end, know that that's the process. That when you go ahead and make these huge attempts on the light side of things, you know, where the light really shines, where the right side of things are, where people get to be their own individuals, where they have freedom of speech, where they have freedom of assembly, where they have freedom of expression, where they have freedom of religion, where they have the freedom to protect themselves, you know, it begs on them to go ahead and come and fight you. But I guess that's not supposed to matter.
Well, that was a loaded statement. No, well, you're right. We're dealing with very, very evil. I'll call it exactly what it is from my belief stature. Is we're dealing with very, very evil people that come from the depths of hell in our society. These people are psychopaths, that they have no heart, they don't have a soul, that they worship and serve an entity called the devil. And they have sold their soul to the devil. They've all talked about it. We know what's going on inside the entertainment industries. We know how widespread satanic worship is in North America. We see what's going on inside of all the satanic churches, the attack on Christianity, what's going on in our schools, how they're demoralizing and destroying our children. Everything is a satanic agenda to destroy society.
And everything is subverted. Everything is inside out and upside and up. Up is down and down is up. Everything's subverted. The heroes of common day, they call themselves witches. They call themselves demons. They know they're Luciferians, and they're there, and they are apparently here to save us from fascism, to save us from evil, to save us from harsh.
You look at how well they use false flags in society. I mean, I've looked into Sandy Hook for hours, and I've really done some hard research into Sandy Hook. And you know, it just happens to be a coincidence that the largest congregation of satanic worshipers in the United States of America just happened to be in that very, very close proximity around Sandy. Just nothing to see there, Tom, but there is so much to that incident that if you really look into it at all, folks, you'll realize that it's just another example of false flags and how false flags control society, Todd. It's amazing. Now what are we dealing with? COVID-19, another major false flag attack on society.
We spoke about the Nova Scotia thing. The Nova Scotia thing is already being investigated because randomly in the middle of that, while the RCMP was putting out tweets, only tweets, not actually trying to save anybody, not trying to solve a crime, not trying to stop anybody, paying attention to the fact that there was houses burning down or whatever. They had the information. They knew somebody was faking being one of their own. They knew that already. So what did they do in that process? They put out a tweet warning some people, and then two random officers went and shot up a random fire department.
Yeah. What was that all about, Todd? Why are they shooting up a fire department?
Two RCMP officers roll up to an almost abandoned fire department in rural Nova Scotia and just fire.
Yeah.
Literally for no reason. Like there's even camera footage of it. It's like there's a psychosis
happening. That's like, just normal police procedure, Todd. What are you talking about, man? We shoot first, ask questions later.
Yeah, look, our department put out a tweet saying there's some shit to be scared about right now. Oh, go shoot up that building. Oh, okay.
I've been talking to people back east about this, Todd, and I'm telling you, folks, this whole situation, we can't just have a situation happen in society where there's no questions in the background. And it doesn't matter, Todd, we could talk about every event that's happened that's shaped our society in the last 30 years, false flags, whatever's happened, there's always a question in the background. It's just not straightforward, black and white, a bad guy got shot, boom, there he is. None of this background stuff going on, none of these questions we asked. It just, this was a major... This was a false flag, Todd. what I'm saying. That's
right. Either absolutely. It's specifically created right from the get-go, or it's been let to happen and there were stand-down orders, or the media controls it as a whole other thing as well, too. It's one of the three. Always now one of the three.
About all three combined?
Or it's a stand-down order given to just let it happen and let it grow a little bit, or it's completely contrived right from the get-go. It's literally one of those three almost every time. Or it's actually all three combined.
Why was the American government giving warnings to American citizens, outright warnings, and the Canadian government and the RCMP did nothing? I mean, there's so many questions about this one, but and like I said, every time we get one of these situations, there's more questions than there is answers. Well, we know why, Todd.
About that is because those questions are so easily available, and even mainstream media, I mean, I think it was a W5 or something sort of report that I saw already making mention of there are investigators investigating why RCMP officers had to discharge their firearms at a abandoned fire hall. So mainstream media, you know, tags on to some of these points as well too. But it doesn't really matter. You know, you get left up as the conspiracy theorist, as I guess the crazy person, and the most wicked thing about that is that you're taking a look at something that you don't even want to be able to actually speak on. It's not nice for us. It's not kind. It's not something that anybody wants to be able to go take a look at this horrible situation like Nova Scotia or any other mass shooting and say, oh, you know, go all the way back to Columbine. The Columbine High School thing. Yeah. Nobody wants to go take a look at those situations, or, you know, or Sandy Hook. Nobody wants to take a look at those situations and easily find where you can question and take a look at horrible things happening, you know, that don't make any sense and have to ask those questions. We don't want to take away from the possible actual loss of life that happened there. We don't want to take away from anybody's actual horrible reality that occurred maybe in that moment, at that time, in that area. No, we don't want to take away from that. We don't want to be, of course, these apparently horrible villains that have to go ask those questions just because they're left right flat out on the table. And again, sometimes mainstream media picks up on those questions and asks some of them themselves as well, too. It doesn't matter that doesn't get well remembered or becomes viral on social media. It's a freaking reality. But yet, of course, we are the demons. We are the monsters for seeing that same thing, too, and not letting it go. And continuing to put it out into the world or on mainstream media. Or, I mean, I should say social media. But it's not fun for us. I think I can kind of speak for, you know, a good number of people that want to go fall down that rabbit hole and say, it's not to go take away from people's horrible experiences is what we're looking for. In fact, if I could take a look at the Nova Scotia thing and say, look, it was just a madman and, you know, he pulled it off in some weird way where he was successful and what a freaking asshole and I'm glad they put him down, I would love it. But no, sorry, there's a shitload of questions. And yeah. People all around the country and the world have
watch
seen
the language,
it
please.
Those same questions.
Hey, so, Todd.
But do Todd. I enjoy having to be able to say that? No. But is it a reality? Yes.
Todd, Steve wants to say something to you. Did you, Steve?
No, you could have said it.
Yeah, we try to watch the potty mouth on the show, Todd.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, you don't mind, but I know. I know that we are passionate individuals right now about what we see going on. So we'll just try and refrain from that if you don't mind, my friend. But I agree. You know, everything, the thing right now is that the Canadian people are so controlled by mainstream media that they are the enemy of the people. That right now we should all be marching on CBC Studios demanding accountability out of mainstream media because there's nothing coming out
That's
of it.
Right.
That's factual. Well, you know, Todd, I mean, look what Germany, what happened in any situation where a dictator has taken over a society. It doesn't matter what situation we look at. We could look at three or four different situations where the same things happen. What's happening in Canada right now, where a dictator has disarmed the people. And once that happens, then the poop hits the fan. And what are we going to use? Harsh language? Bows and arrows, single-shot 22s against their AK-47s. I mean, to say that this government can't go tyrannical, what we're being set up right now, Todd, this is nothing about guns at all. This is nothing about protecting citizens. What they're trying to do will have absolutely zero, if anything, a negative effect on gun violence in Canada. The problem we have with gun violence in Canada is that we have a border, unprotected border, about 4,500 miles, I believe it is, or 5,000-mile border, between us and the United States, the flow of guns coming into the United States is massive because there's a market up here. The gangs that are the gangs. Well, the gangs. Look at the gangs that are forming in Canada. I mean, people aren't aware of this, Todd, but there's Somalian gangs forming in Canada, and they're the most violent.
Sorry, I'm across the street from the fire department.
Well, that's okay. Well, we're seeing some of those violent gangs in Canadian history forming in Canada right now, and they're getting their guns across the border. And what we're doing in Canada with this gun laws is going to have no effect on that at all. If anything, it's going to empower the prisoners or the bad guys because they're going to know that Canadians are disarmed. So it makes us even more of a target. If every bad guy knows that every Canadian's armed and got a gun in their house and is willing to defend themselves, they're going to think twice about going into the house in the middle of the night. But when this goes through, everything that this government does, Todd, is empowers the bad guys, period. And we can talk about kinds of different incidents. Go ahead.
We had to be quarantined and shut down for however long that we were told to be while they let out prisoners just to make sure that the prisoners didn't get sick.
Yeah, and that prisoner goes out and murders a Canadian citizen. Who's going to say, who's being held accountable for that? And that just happened last week.
And during that process, you wanted to take more guns out of the hands of Canadians. It's like almost like... It's almost like Hollywood, man. It's a bad movie. Like it's a really awkward and sad bad movie. You know, to do all these moves at the same time. And of course, the Trudeau government's already said, now that we've done this, we know we have a better move on the handguns as well too. That's already out there on the table as well too. So it doesn't stop. Once you give an inch, get a mile.
Hammers will be next, Todd. And knives. They're gonna have to ban knives. Because knives kill people. And cars. Yes. No more cars.
Next it'll just be you can't protect yourself. If somebody wants to come be the criminal, rule over you just the same as government already does, but I guess he's the good guy. He's the actual hero. So you have to just kneel down and give him your shit. Sorry, I shouldn't have sworn. Give him your wallet, give him your house, give him whatever, give him your car, and just go about your business.
Yeah, well, that's where we're going here, bud, real quick. And the good thing is that what Trudeau has done here, like I said, in the last week with this gun ban, I have never in my life seen as much negative response towards the government as I am seeing now. People that would not engage in conversations with me a little while ago, all of a sudden are wanting to engage in conversations. And it's a good thing because right now, you know and I know, Todd, if we don't put a stop to this real soon, that this government is going to have so much power. We look at it, multiple different avenues of what this government is doing. They've created, here's the scenario, Todd, they created the virus, right? They allowed Trudeau allowed this virus to come into Canada. They did nothing to stop it. Now the economy is on its heels. People are broke, so what's the government doing? Sending them checks for $2,000. Well, every time that a person in Canada takes that check, you're building a stronger, tyrannical government.
Yes, it's not just Trudeau. It won't just sit there with them. It'll be whoever comes into power next as well, too, will be expected to toe that same line and go, look, we passed all this stuff recently. This is what we've moved in on. This is the new laws of the land. This is the way we control society. And it'll still just be dovetailed off. It'll still just carry on. A conservative government could come in tomorrow. They're not going to repeal all this stuff. I highly doubt. They'll still work off of the framework. Yeah. The liberals, of course, would do even more so. But right now, we don't have any hope in any kind of conservative government. It's not going to work on this now current framework. This current framework, of course, is backed by people who are going to be able to say what any, I guess, more national government is going to do. You know, this is the World Health Organization. This is the UN. Anybody in apparently Canadian government for the last however long. Trudeau, of course, now like mentioning it, I guess, the loudest, but many others before him. I want a seat on the UN Security Council. That's a big deal for me. It's a big thing. It's a big thing for this country. Blah 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 blah, on and on and on. So it doesn't stop with Trudeau. It doesn't stop with the Liberals. It doesn't stop with whatever government is in power right now.
It doesn't matter, Todd. They're all every political party in Canada, mainstream political party right now in Canada, is fully on board with the United Nations agenda. They're the exact same snake, buddy, with a different head. But any government, if you ask the government, the conservative government, if they support the climate accord, the Paris Climate Accord, they support that. That is all you need to know about the Conservative Party, period. That says it in a nutshell.
Absolutely. So, and as we've seen in the U.S. and in other countries as well, too, that have turned more populist or nationalist, when you really want to go actually fight some of those entities, some of those legislations, some of those treaties, you just get ripped apart by the other parties that are then going to be more in control of the media, I guess, because they're the ones getting the backing from the international bodies, and so is the media. So yeah. Even if you had an attempt on that, and you had a government in there, like, say, maybe like a Trump that has, I'm not saying I'm a huge fan of Trump and that I love everything he's done, but I like some stuff. But you go ahead and fight that, maybe you raise a little bit of awareness as to how these things don't work so well for your actual economy and your future, and all you are is ripped apart, and you still go basically into civil war anyways.
Yeah, well, we don't want to go to civil war, Todd. That will be a very, very bad move on our behalf. They're pushing us towards armed confrontation. You see it everywhere in the world. They want us to go to armed confrontation against them, and we will get our butts handed to us on a platter. If we go that route, we have to use the legal.
I would very much agree.
Well, yeah. I've said it many times on my show, and I've looked into some of the stuff that these guys could actually possess in their little toolbox. I have a really good friend down in the States that's really in on intelligence, and he tells me stuff that makes my head just spin, man. It really does. I'll let the fire truck go by there.
Yeah, another one. Apparently,
that's okay. I'll just wait for a sec.
It's probably a COVID situation.
Yeah. No, a guy got hit by a truck. He died from COVID-19, man.
Yeah, he died from COVID-19. Somebody right in the area. Yeah,
lady down in Florida got attacked by a shark. Then they called it COVID-19.
That's right. Yeah.
It's got to fit. Well, we know so much. We hear all this stuff that's starting to really come out about it now, Todd. And I'm just hoping, really hoping, that enough people start paying attention to the other side of the story, that we can make it go viral without the help of mainstream, because mainstream will not carry the stories that need to be carried about this virus right now. They won't.
Not at all.
They're all on board. We know that. So that's what we're up against.
One of the main reasons I wanted to come on with you today, and I can't thank you enough for having me on, Barry, and your other host as well, too. I'm forgetting the name right now.
Yep, Stephen.
Steven, yes, of course. Great to be on with you guys again. Thank you so much for having me on right now. And I guess it couldn't come at a better time because if a lot of the listeners right now don't know, you can go on the Winnipeg Alternative Media Facebook page and go see a two-hour live broadcast of a rally here in Winnipeg that took place yesterday in front of the legislative building that was surprising, I think, to everybody who attended and especially to the organizers. That I was in contact with, up until the event and still, of course, will remain in contact with. I'm not an organizer myself, but I do understand where these people come from. And I was kind of happy, I guess, in a sense, to be tapped on the shoulder and say, hey, look, do you want to help put this together? Do you want to promote it? Do you want to get the bullhorn? Do you want to speak? And I said, no, I can't. There's too many personal risks for my own. I got a newborn here. I need to be able to go back to work. I go back to work for the first time in almost 2 months tomorrow. So I needed to be able to, self-sustain and kind of protect myself and my family. But I still showed up yesterday to go film. So 2 hours of filming and live broadcast from the Manitoba Legislative Building here in Winnipeg was accomplished by me and my girlfriend Mandy yesterday. And there were hundreds of people that showed up, all with amazing signs, Canadian flags, some wanting to don the upside down Canadian flag, which apparently a lot of Canadians didn't like and figured that didn't make sense and it was some gigantic disrespect. Funny enough, these are the people who want to kiss boots and follow legal orders, so I find it funny that they think they know what they're talking about. But that's okay. It was an amazing showing. It was an incredible event to witness. The speaker there, Dr. Jerry Bohemier, who has been was a chiropractor for his entire professional life, over 35 years, and also very much involved in being a naturopath and a homeopath as well, too. Wen spoke there not just about rights and about what shutdown does and what quarantine and the social distancing and the ongoing of all these issues does to actual human health and society, but also speaking about how, why are we not seeing billboards everywhere? Speaking about the basic sense of health. If everyone's so concerned right now, when they've seen the numbers, when the stats are out there, that this thing is basically like a flu, and that what you need to just worry about is the elderly and the immune compromised. Why aren't we seeing billboards? The mainstream media and everybody else out there going and yelling and screaming about, you know, get the you know, just make sure you're getting your sunlight, your vitamin D, get your vitamin C, get your zinc, get your iron, you know, yeah. You be physically active, you know, no. All of a sudden, the same people who would yell and scream at that, and the same people a year ago that would go look at a smoker and go, oh my God, here's the things you need to listen to, here's the things you need to do, aren't saying any of that anymore. They're not worried about natural health. They're not worried about how to properly take care of yourself. Now they're worried about what the government said and what the World Health Organization said. And how dare anybody question that, and how dare anybody point towards facts and actual history that has been proven a million times over again about the cover-up of Bill Gates, the investments there, Dr. Fauci, his involvement with the World Health Organization, Communist China, you know, over and over again, these things have been proven. But nobody's worried about natural health. Nobody's worried about properly taking care of yourself. We're all worried about what the proper people had to say. And that includes the anti-vaxxers as well, too. Now, I believe this is the little silver lining here, and there's a lot of kind of silver linings that are taking place, I think, right now, including just basically the waking up of people, especially as governments try to ram through other things during this process, which just makes them, again, like we spoke about earlier, just stand further out on the open as, like, yeah, look, we're enemies of the people. This is what we're doing. But one of the silver linings that I've seen is I think this is also kind of a bit of a turning point in the death of some of the social justice warriors in Antifa, because this was their time to shine. They could have stood up and said, like, oh, man, for the first time ever, you have international bodies controlling our government, saying the Walmart and the liquor marts can stay open and every personal business. Like, actual real fascism, the first time they've ever really seen it. But now they're gone. They're following orders. They want to come out and yell and scream. And this is what I wanted to really come on to talk about today.
Is it windy there, Todd?
It's the rally here in Winnipeg. This is what's really taking place, and this should be a wake up point for I think even a lot more people. Is that I think this is one of the true. One of the last straws that breaks the camel's back in the fight of the modern anti-fascist fascism finally actually reared its ugly head. They all decided to follow orders. And even worse than that, they decided to sick their dogs like they were used to, you know, doxing people and so on and so forth, with the people who want to go stand up and talk about the real fascism taking place in our world today. And this is what I've seen here now in Winnipeg, and this is what I really wanted to come to warn Canadians, Americans, anybody listening to this broadcast right now. Is since our big rally took place here yesterday in Winnipeg, already, because there was local business owners there, there was families that have successful businesses here in Winnipeg that are a part of this conversation, that see that they've been lied to, that have read the facts, that understand that this isn't just independent and alternative media and a bunch of conspiracy theorists talking about this. There's real facts. There's real censorship happening here. They've bore witness to that. They're awake. They want to come speak about it with their fellow community. They were out there yesterday with us here in Winnipeg, and they've already been attacked by Antifa and by just locals as well, too, just by random other Winnipeggers on social media saying, now nobody should ever go to your business anymore. You should be ripped down. You should be shredded. We don't care about you and your family. I had threats that was on my own feed yesterday that were speaking to some of my friends that were out there just even commenting or maybe a part of it as I tried to stay off camera, knowing how bad this was going to get, saying, I hope, and this is one that I saw, this is amazing, saying, I hope your kids get killed in a school someday. This is how people are reacting right now. This is, I've already seen the local Antifa groups and some of the individuals involved in them already say, you know, to hell with your businesses, to hell with your family, go and attack them. They want to get other locals to wake up, what they consider wake up, and go fight them and rip them down and shred them personally and dox them and wreck their personal lives and become really emotional about the fact that a group of 300 plus people decided on their own volition to be at a legislative building yesterday to speak about their rights and to speak their own free speech and their right to assemble. This is what's happening.
Look what happened in Edmonton today, Todd. You know, they arrested two people for speaking. Cody and Pat King, I believe, were arrested today by the police for simply standing in front of the legislative building and speaking. I guess because they used a megaphone, they arrested him and put him in jail, man. Well, we see this ramping up right across the country. Well, we're seeing this, Todd. It doesn't matter where we look in the country right now. We've got to realize, and we know, and you know, and everybody else knows that the censorship is ramping up at light speed right now, that we're being attacked, that our I post stuff on Facebook, and it's gone. Anything to do against the narrative right now is being removed. And people are really starting to see this. People want to see the other side of the story, and they see it's being taken away from them. Well, these things are all working on people right now, and people do have a heart, and they do have a soul. And I believe right now more people in Canada are really starting to pay attention to what's going on in this country out of concern for the future than we've ever seen before. And it's time right now we just got to put the pedal to the metal, that we've got to take every opportunity that we can get and talk to people and just explain a few things to them and let them run with it. Because some of the stuff going on, Todd, if it doesn't disturb you, if you don't see what's going on right now in Canada, then I don't know what to say to you. I really don't. Has the mainstream media got that much power? Has the programming effects that the government's used on our society in the last 30, 40 years, is that much power on our society that they can't see the trees for the forest? That we're falling into a full-blown, if we're not there already, a full-blown fascist dictatorship in Canada?
That's right.
But, you know, we're there. And you know what? It's only going to get worse. The more power this government takes from the people, which they've done in a massive way here with this COVID-19, all of Canada was forced into our houses or self-quarantining and isolating ourselves. Our social structure is falling apart. Our economy is just tanking right now. And everybody thinks it's fine because the government's sending them checks for $2,000. I mean,
the World Health Organization just admitted that over the next year, 130 million might die of starvation, which is a number that has just leaped, probably maybe 100 million. Why do you think they're saying that? Why do you think they're already putting out predictions like that? They know exactly what's been done to the food chain supply. They know exactly how many farmers are throwing out good produce right now, because even though some economies are reopening, like here in Manitoba, yeah, sure, we're kind of reopening, but all the restaurants, everybody who wants to actually go use what the farmers produce are only allowed still half occupancy. They're not ordering what they used to be ordering.
And we've got millions of people starving on the planet, and food is going to waste. It's just...
Exactly.
It's, you know, how do we put this... you know, I really find it hard sometimes to put my emotions in words when I'm talking about this stuff. Because it just absolutely drives me nuts, Todd. It really does. When we see what's going on, it's so blatantly obvious what the agenda is, and so many people are still refusing to stand up. That's what really, really disturbs me, because there's no excuse now for not seeing what's going on. They're not hiding it anymore, man. It's right in your face. They used to hide this stuff. Well, those days are gone, and you know what? They're ramping it up. And why? Well, they're looking for an armed confrontation. They're looking for a response in society. And what's going to happen when they really bring out something that's got a little bit of punch to it? Watch what they can do to society. They got the response they wanted to get. They're laughing in their little ivory towers at how the society reacted to this. And it's just it's another push. But we're really heading down a very, very, very bad path right now. We've got to turn it around. I don't know if we can or not, Todd. I really don't know. But I'm not going to stop talking about it. I'm not going to try. I'm going to continue to try and make people aware until we're not able to do that. And I believe that time's going to come real soon, man. I hate to say that, but I believe that time is coming soon where we won't be able to have these conversations. And that is a scary thought, but we're heading there real quick.
Yeah, that was very well said. I don't even know what I can really add to that, because that's just that's a final point right there. That is where you're at. And like you were saying earlier, you know, what really turns us over to that final dark night, to that actual great evil that wants to be like what Hitler wanted, you know, what the worst evils that ever got to experience success in being the worst evils ever wanted, what they were looking for, you know. I can't speak on why those things didn't necessarily happen, but they also just dovetailed off into history and found their other ways to still manipulate and be around, be a part. So all kinds of evils have been tried in history. Some of them might have looked to fail, but regardless of any of that history, look where you are now. And the thing that's going to turn it over again. The thing that has always turned it over before in the past, doesn't matter if it seemed to be defeated or it changed or morphed into something else. Again, the biggest thing that you're dealing with is it'll happen. It'll go that horrible way if people just stand there and let it.
Yep. Well, all it takes for
back,
Well, all it takes for evil to proliferate in our society, Todd, is good men doing nothing about it. And that's what we see. Right. We see so many Canadians just, they know there's something wrong, but they just don't want to look at it. They don't want to come outside of the bubble. But, you know, that bubble can collapse so quick, and I believe that's coming real soon, that they're going to put society into such a state of chaos that whatever they come up for as a solution, society, unfortunately, is going to grab it. I'm talking about the people that are still in the box. People like you and me, people that we talk to that are aware of what their plan is, they're not going to fall for it. But unfortunately, a good percentage of society still will. And the reason that's going to happen, I believe, is because of their control mechanisms they have in society. They control the food. People in big cities, they don't have an option. They don't have the opportunity to, you know, do what people in the country do. I'm growing a huge garden right now with a buddy of mine just out of town here. I'm involved in that. I mean, it's not the biggest, but it's going to put enough food probably that I might be able to survive with those kind of vegetables for the next year, you know. But people in the city, they can't do that. They're forced to depend on the grocery stores. They're forced to depend on that light switch and driving and doing what they do every day. And if that's taken away from them, well, that's where you're really going to see chaos erupts. And I believe that's what they'll feed on. The majority of our decisions are made by congregations in the city. A perfect example of that is what's going on in Canada, where, you know, Toronto and Montreal and basically the southern corridor of Ontario dictates what goes on in this country. The rest of the country has no say in what goes on.
We need electoral reform in this country as much as we need anything else. And that's one of the questions I've really entertained and been happy to entertain with Todd Brown over the last few weeks is to do with this gun ban, even to do with, if we're going to take a look. And, you know, like we spoke earlier, how any one party is still going to be wanting to grab a hold of the current mechanism and use it for their own benefit. So there really is no hope necessarily in the political parties that we're still looking at as the main political parties of today. But regardless, if you wanted to go attack the gun ban situation, you can't just go do a whole hashtag fire Bill Blair, get rid of Bill Blair sort of situation. That's not going to do anything. The gun organizations don't want to come out and say, give us some money. We're going to go fight them. We're going to get them in the Supreme Court. That's not going to do anything. The most you can do is if it really is just truly still right now the Liberal Party of Canada that wants to do that to gun owners and make a whole bunch of normal Canadians criminals, is you have to go find where some of their biggest ridings are where there's a lot of electoral votes there. And get a Liberal out. Here in Winnipeg, we have Winnipeg South. Winnipeg South is a major, major riding as far as the seats in the House of Commons goes. And so already me and Todd Brown are in conversations about, get that Liberal out of there so you can spark a different conversation. Now, is a conservative person that's going to come into there be the best for that conversation? We don't know, but I guess it's worth a shot.
Well, there is right now. There is a battle going on inside the Conservative Party that you're probably well aware of, Todd. That there's actual people in the Conservative Party now that want to put back in front of the public conservative values, actual conservative values. And of course, the battle is on. Where it's going to go, right now, I don't know. But what is happening is the Canadian public is paying attention. And a lot of these conversations that are happening in the Conservative Party, some of these battles are drawing public attention to what the true intent of the Conservative Party is. Once people in Canada realize that there is no difference between the Greens, the NDP, the Conservatives, or the Liberals, like I said, they're the same snake with different heads, then nothing will change in our country. Nothing. It'll just continue the same old business with a slightly different face on it. Until we can actually get to the root of the problem. And, of course, lots of different people are doing lots of different things to try and solve that problem. The Myth of Canada is one of them. There's lots of organizations that are trying to get Canadians aware of the fact that we don't have any control in this country, that we're living in a full-blown dictatorship. And we've been that way for eons, that we've really never had any freedom in this country at all, that we're subservient to the state. Eventually, maybe the public will wake up. Maybe it'll start affecting people to a point where they'll be really demanding changes. I keep saying to people, if you want to see what's coming to Canada, take a look at Europe. And really, that's all you need to do is look what's going on in Europe right now. It's unbelievable. Yes. Unbelievable what's going on over there. They've lost their culture. They've lost their countries. That they're in a situation right now that they might not be able to reverse short of civil war. And of course, like I said, that's what the governments want. That's what they're pushing society towards. Everything they're doing is to push to civil war. Because of course, you know that Trudeau tried to enact the Emergencies Act, the second week of this COVID disaster. You know that. If he'd have got away with that, Todd, the power that this man would have right now, he'd be running over this country. He would have the RCMP going door to door right now under an emergency order under the Emergencies Act and confiscating every gun in Canada. And that's the power he would have had. And it was only because he got stopped. But it just shows you the true intentions of this maniac that's running our country. I don't have the words to describe my hatred for that man. And I'm not supposed to, as a Christian, I'm not supposed to hate anybody. But I don't know what else to say about him. My disdain is very, very deep for what he's doing to this country.
Oh, I feel you. I mean, I feel the same way. I think that's why I was probably the most lively I probably was on this broadcast when speaking about what I saw happening on social media and in my community over the last, 24 hours since the rally here in Winnipeg. I'm a Christian as well, too. I don't want to hate anybody as well, too. But I can tell you one thing. If you want to get me real riled up and want me to come, face somebody in a showdown style, face-to-face, man-to-man, eye-to-eye, nose-to-nose, go ahead and go out there and call a bunch of innocent people just doing their own thing. The wind's blowing pretty strong here. You can go call them, a bunch of god-awful people and a bunch of demons and go threaten their own personal lives and go threaten them personally and go threaten their own livelihood and put that out as a warning to everybody else and try to get other people in on the fight as well, too. No, you need to do this. Otherwise, you're wrong. Anybody who doesn't join this side of the fight, now you're wrong, too. The moment I see something like that, I get, the blood just boils. And then that word hatred starts to come up in my mind. And it's I want to see you.
Yeah. It's a natural reaction when we see the threat that's coming and what's coming for our children, John. We envision the future that this country's going to have. It really, really plays hard on our emotions because we all love our children. One thing before we go here today, Todd Brown. Now, does he have a website? Because I've listened to him talk quite a few times now. And I wouldn't mind sharing that with my listeners because he is somebody I would recommend folks that you go have a listen to. He's a very intelligent man. I haven't had a chance to talk to him myself yet, and I would love that opportunity sometime, Todd, to have a chat with him. He's well worth following. So maybe if you could give people information on that, Todd, where they can find him.
Yeah, absolutely. Todd Brown of the Firearm Institute for Rational Education. So you can just go check that out, Firearm Institute for Rational Education. Other than that, you can just go find him on Facebook. Todd Brown, send him a message. He responds to everybody, and he's actually pretty quick to respond. I would say, Barry, he would gladly come on your broadcast. If you can't get in contact with him or he's not responding to you, let me know. Sorry. And I will assist in that fashion because he'll gladly come on your broadcast. He's welcome to talk to you. And he is one of the best individuals, if not the best individual in Canada right now, to talk to about the proper actual rights of gun owners and of other situations as well too, the history behind what other organizations and NGOs and different political parties have, what they've done right, what they've done wrong, who we've spoken to over the years, on and on and on and on. He's absolutely remarkable. And cool. Very self-sustained, does all his own work. He's also an expert on survivalism as well, too. Makes a lot of his own little weapons, makes a lot of his own little tools, designs a lot. He's a man that can build and use this world for self-sustainability and for being a genuinely good person. And he can use the world around him to do that and to back stuff up on the way he lives on his talking points, and it's just it's always an amazing breath of fresh air when you speak.
Hey, Todd, unfortunately, we're out of time, buddy. The hour went really quick. I am talking with Todd McDougall. He is with a Winnipeg Alternative Media folks. So if you want to check out Todd, I urge you to go to his Facebook pages and his YouTube channel and check out what he's doing. Very, very enjoyable conversation for the last hour, Todd. And I want to thank you. And Todd Brown, guys, I'm going to reach out to him, Todd. I'm going to try and get him on here in the very near future. So I want to thank you for joining me, buddy.
Oh, Matt, I can't thank you enough for having me on. It couldn't have worked out better because, everything that happened here yesterday in Winnipeg has been an eye-opener for, I think, everybody involved.
Yeah, I wanted to get you on for that reason today, too, because I wanted to hear about that.
Yeah.
And our conversations are always lively. So we'll do it again, Todd, real quick.
You bet. You bet. All right. I can't thank you enough, Barry, to everybody listening, and you yourself, Barry, and you, and Steve as well, too, the other co-host there. Have a great rest of the weekend. Happy Mother's Day to everybody. Take care. God bless. And you know what, Barry? I can't wait to have another conversation with you as soon as possible.
Thanks again, Todd. It's been a pleasure. Well, folks, you know, that's the show for this week. I've enjoyed this conversation we've had in the last couple hours. We've taken the conversation in lots of different directions. We even got to talk a little bit about hockey, which is something that always makes me smile. So that being said, folks, thanks for joining us, and I'll be back next week, same time, same place. Thanks to Steve Roberts for producing our show. Thanks to People's Internet Radio for providing me this platform, and Shake and Wake for broadcasting my show. Love you guys all, and I'll be back next week, same time. Bye for now.
listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com. Seeking solutions.